1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I know that's kind of hard to do that at once, amen, but just be ready, amen. We'll start in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and then we're going to go over to 2 Timothy. And just thrills my heart, beautiful songs. Young people, thank you for those songs. And it just thrills my heart to see Pastor Donald up here and Miss Marissa. I kid you not, you know, my wife is in the room and she knows this is the gospel truth. The first youth rally we did in 2001, we just graduated from Bible college, and our pastor was legendary for saying stuff like, "You ought to have a youth rally." And we said, yeah, we ought to. He said, "Well, here, do it on this day," you know, 3 weeks later. He was, you know, kind of legendary about that kind of stuff. And I kid you not, Brother Horsch, we threw it together. And I mean that in the best possible, we threw it together. And to see young people that you invested in rallies like that, which were your age, young people, to see them carrying on. And as 2 Timothy 2:2 says, faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's really a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm excited about this message tonight. I just made a little note. Listen, if you can't preach after that kind of singing, you need to turn in your ordination certificate. Amen. I'm telling you, that's just wonderful. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's stand, amen, out of respect and reverence for God's Word. We're going to read, about seven verses here total, but they're in three different spots. So, let's read if we could. We'll read in unison all the verses. Normally we read responsively, but we'll not do that tonight. We'll read in unison. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Jump over, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Ready? Let's begin. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Over probably just a page to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. 2 Timothy 4, verses 5 through 7. Ready? Begin. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul at the end could say, I stayed in the battle. I stayed in the battle. And the title of the message is right along with the theme tonight. Whether you're a teenager or whether you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the privilege to be called your children. But also, Lord, for the responsibility that's ours, to be soldiers of the cross. Pray that you'd help us. Be with those young people today that are AWOL in their duties. Be with those of us that are in the middle of life that perhaps could be better soldiers tonight. Lord, be with those who are coming to the end. May they be able to say with Paul, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Use this message to help somebody tonight, Father, to stay in the battle. We love You and thank You for all that You give to us. Thank You for who You are. Thank You most of all for dying on the cross for us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We have some in our church that served during the Second World War. In World War II, there was, Brother Ewald, a law. And it was this. When the Americans hit the beach, for all intents and purposes, the battle was won. You can go on and on. I try to be a student of history. Guadalcanal was really the first engagement against the Japanese, and it lasted from August 7th to February 9th. It was the longest of the battles, but the battle was won. Tarawa, terrible Tarawa. As a matter of fact, Rear Admiral Shibasaki, who was the chief commander of Tarawa, said 1 million men couldn't take Tarawa in 100 years. The United States Marines did it in 76 hours. Amen. Amen. Saipan, June 15th to July 9th. Peleliu, September 15th to November 27th. Iwo Jima, February 19th to March 26th. Okinawa, April 1st to June 22nd. Those were all in the Pacific. And literally, as soon as the Americans hit the beach, that battle was won. Oh, there were casualties, yes. Oh, there was battles to be fought. But the battle was won. You know, the same thing happened in France on June 6, 1944. We know that as D-Day. When the Allies came and landed on those beaches of France, and they began to march into France and began to make that long road to Berlin, and it looked like the war would be over before Christmas of 1944. What the Americans did not know, from the grunt private to Generals Eisenhower and Patton, was that in total secrecy, the Nazis were planning one final offensive to try to preserve their thousand-year Reich. It became known as the Battle of the Bulge. It started on December 16th, 1944, in the dense Ardennes forests of Belgium, France, and Luxembourg. The place was so quiet before the Battle of the Bulge that Allied planners had nicknamed it the Ghost Front. On December 16th, 1944, in Lanzarote, Belgium, 18 men from the Intelligence and Reconnaissance Platoon of the 394th Regiment of the 99th Infantry Division, led by 20-year-old First Lieutenant Lyle Bauck, artillery began to fall on them, and 500 German paratroopers in a battalion began to overrun their position. Lieutenant Bauck was on the communications with headquarters, and their communique was this, Brother Horsch: hold at all costs. And then the radio was blown out of his hand by a German bullet. And for 12 hours, 18 men staved off advance after advance after advance of Germans. They would stop, they would retreat, they would come back up, and they would go, and they fought to the last bullet. 14 out of the 18 were wounded. One was killed. And they finally surrendered. They were captured. Their last communication was, hold at all costs. Their commanding officer had said to them, hold at all costs. You know, our commanding officer has said some things to us. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. He said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you know that's the only two times in the New Testament that the word soldier is used outside of a Roman soldier or the soldiers came to take him? And it speaks of us as soldiers. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Our commanding officer has given us some orders. Occupy till I come. Watch and pray. I want to just give you some points tonight and some pointers to the young people. Number one, I want you to notice the seriousness of the battle in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at it with me, amen. The seriousness of the battle. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, young people. The devil wants to convince you that there is no battle going on. There's no battle whatsoever. You listen to me. We are in a spiritual battle for life and death, for eternity, for souls. Amen. It's a serious thing. It's a battle. So much so that God chose to use the metaphor of a soldier. You know what? Soldiers have downtime. They have joke time. Amen. They have fun time. But I'll tell you what, when it's time for battle, Brother Horse, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. The seriousness of the battle. I want you to notice something else. The soldiers in the battle. I mentioned that word soldier is used twice there. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, just a couple pages back, it says there in verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest what? War a good warfare. You see, we're soldiers in this battle. It says to fight the good fight of faith. Soldiers may do a lot of things, but their primary job is to fight when their nation calls. You know, we are, as Brother Leonard led the song, we are those Christian soldiers. We are those Christian soldiers. God has not just called you to be a son or a daughter, but He's called you and I to be soldiers, and all God's people said. Amen. Called us to be soldiers. There's the seriousness of the battle. There's the soldiers in the battle. And we're fighting against the forces of hell, ladies and gentlemen. We're fighting against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the summons to complete the battle. See, there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I read a book last year. I finished it while I was in the Philippines. It was a fascinating read by a historian named John Vukovitz. And it was about the Battle of Tarawa. And there was one man on Tarawa who received the Medal of Honor. He was a colonel. His name is David Shoup. And Colonel Shoup, many times the colonels, the generals were set apart from. But Colonel Shoup had to wade in. What happened was, if you know anything about the Battle of Tarawa, there was a reef around Tarawa. And what happened was, to their everlasting shame, the planners did not realize there was a neap tide. And they went, and literally the boats got stuck on the reef because the water was so low. And so they had to wade in chest-deep water, Brother Becker, 700 yards under Japanese fire. Just like this. And Colonel Shoup had to do that too, just like his men, just like the privates. And you know what? He was wounded in 9 places. shrapnel bullet ricocheted off his neck. And you know what? The reason that it's credited in his Medal of Honor citation, the reason that that battle was won was because of Colonel Shoup and his indomitable spirit. One man began to retreat from the battle. He said, "There's no way on the beaches. There's no way. We're going back to the boats." And Colonel Shoup, probably in different language, did this, but told him to take weapons off the dead and get back in the battle. Now listen, the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there's no discharge in that war. You know what it's talking about there? Death. And listen, the only thing that ought to bounce you out of God's army is when you take your last breath. Amen? I cannot tell you the amount of young people, and not just young people, but people I've seen get saved and then get out of the battle and get out of church altogether. It's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. The summons is to complete the battle. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. The seriousness of the battle. The soldiers in the battle. The summons to complete the battle. Matthew chapter 24, look at verses 42 through 46. Think about a soldier on patrol, if you would, here. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up." The illustration the Lord Jesus gives us here, He tells us, He's like, "Look, I want you to watch. I want you to be watching. I want you to be sober. I want you to be actively serving. Listen, if you knew, Brother Merrill, what time the thief was coming, he left a flyer on your door that says, 'Hey, I'm going to be here to rob your house at 2 a.m. you'd be ready for them at 2 a.m. Amen? The Lord here says, in verse number 44, "Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" And think about this. Think about this now, as we consider the summons to complete the battle. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Young people, we have so many great examples in this church of service for Jesus Christ. You know what God wants you to be doing in your 80s? Still serving Him. Still serving Him. He's worthy of service. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of enduring hardness. Some of you go to public schools. Listen, you need to take a stand for Jesus. You need to take a stand for Jesus. You need to let them know that you're a Christian. You say, "But they'll make fun of me." Listen to me. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm glad our soldiers endure hardness for our freedom. They do. Dear friend of Pastor Donald's, our pastor's youngest son just shipped off to Afghanistan, leaving his family behind. You know what that is, Brother Horsch? Hard. Hard. For a whole year. Don't be a secret agent Christian. Listen, we've all heard that story about the man who was shot during the Civil War because he had on the pants of the gray and the coat of the Union. Can't have Christians like that. Can't have Christians with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. "Choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen? Let me give you, young people, if I could, there's the seriousness, the summons, the soldiers. Let me give you the secrets to staying in the battle. Let me give you the secrets. They're not deep. I've been at this only 20 years. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I remember an older man I used to work with says, an X is a has-been and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So you never want to be an expert. Amen. A has-been drip under pressure. But I have watched people come. Brother Lee, I've watched them go. You know what? If you're going to stay in the battle, here's the secret. You have to recognize the conflict. It is a battle. There was a man who went to Midwestern Baptist College, and he had broken some rule. I don't know what it was, Brother Taverni, but it was something. He actually got called into Dr. Malone's office, which was, you know, nigh unto the fourth member of the Trinity for, you know, Bible college students to get called into Dr. Malone's office. It was a big deal to get called into Dr. Malone's office. And he got called in, and he was not obstinate, Miss Carol Ann, but he knew God had called him to Bible college, and this was a very minor thing. And Dr. Malone said, he said, well, he's like, you know, we can kick you out. He said, well, you can if you want to, but God's the one who called me here. And he walked out of Dr. Malone's office singing, run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Remember that old song? Roloff used to sing that, amen? Run if you want to. Hey, but there's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a battle. You're going to have to recognize the fact that there's a conflict going on. And you know what that demands? Your attention, your carefulness. The Bible uses a word, circumspection. Years ago, I heard a preacher who had been a special ops trainer. Chuck Cofty was his name. And he talked about how when they walked in Vietnam and they were coming along to this path, they came to a small little path and then there was a wide road. And he said, without fail, Brother Leonard, we always took the small path. We never took the wide road. He said the one time one soldier began to take the wide road, a bullet shot out and hit his helmet and the AK-47s would spin and it literally spun around his helmet and shot out the front of his helmet, picked up his helmet and he had been scalped. He literally just picked up his top of his head. You know why? He didn't recognize that there was a conflict going on. He just turned around. Listen, we can't do that, young people. The devil's real, and he wants you. He wants to wreck your life. If you're going to stay in the battle, if you're going to be at this thing 20 years from today, which I hope you are, unless we're all raptured, hallelujah, then the battle's over. You're going to have to recognize that there's a conflict. Secondly, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Secondly, in the secrets to staying in the battle, you're going to have to recognize that there's a conflict, but you're also going to have to realize that there will be casualties. There will be casualties. Look, if you would, at, we read verse 18 of chapter 1. Look at verse, the end of verse 18 says that, by them thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You're going to have to realize that there will be casualties. In every military battle, there are casualties. Everyone. Colonel Shoup said, when they said that they didn't know how the battle was going, he said, battles are not won from helicopters or observation planes. Battles are won by Marines with their feet on the ground. Listen, there's going to be casualties. I'd hate to see one of you be a casualty. Amen, church? We're going to have prayer at the end of service tonight. And one of the prayers that I'm going to pray is that none of you will be casualties. Amen. Yeah. We've seen them. Yeah. We've seen them, haven't we, church? Yeah. We've seen them come. get all fired up for something like this, and 2 months later, the FBI can't find them. And can I say this too? In regards to casualties, if you don't do your duty as soldiers, there will be casualties because you didn't do your duty. How many men have been stricken with regret from battle that they didn't do their duty and it cost the life of somebody else, cost the limb of somebody else because they shirked their duty? What are you trying to say here, Pastor? Listen, Satan doesn't fight fair. By the way, war's not fair. It's not fair. It just is. Satan doesn't fight fair. If you're going to stay in the battle, you're going to have to realize there'll be casualties. Listen, there may be a friend in this youth group that goes astray. You pray for them. You love them. But you need to understand there's going to be casualties. Everybody makes choices. Let's choose to serve God. Let's choose to do our duty. Amen? Remember, number three, a soldier who's going to stay in the battle, they have to recognize the conflict. They have to realize that there will be casualties. They have to remember to keep in condition and be prepared for battle. You know, if you're going to keep in condition and be prepared for battle, there's three very important elements. You know what? Soldiers have to eat. Amen? They have to eat. Now, they eat some ungodly things. Amen? I don't know, do we have K rations up here? Well, we got rations. I'm not opening those boxes. I don't want to know what's in there. Amen? I remember we had a dear friend of ours. He was in the National Guard, and they came out 1 year for our VBS. Brother Pat Shaughnessy, he's in heaven today. And he come right out with an MRE ration. And he just took that thing, and Brother Horsey went, and it had a flint inside of it, and started cooking right there. And he said, "You wouldn't believe how good this is." And I said, "You're right, I wouldn't either." Amen. He brought it over to me. He said, "Pastor, it's smoked turkey." And he said, "And I promise you, it's good." I said, "All right." And I took a bite of that. Oh my goodness! Imagine how good that tastes on the battlefield. Amen. You know what the Bible says about the Bible? Soldiers, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You're not going to be a good soldier if you don't eat. You're not going to be a good soldier if the only Bible you get is from this pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. You can be an adequate soldier because the Bible's preached here. The Bible's taught in Sunday school classes all around this place. You can be an adequate soldier, but you're not going to be a good soldier. You got to eat. You know what else you got to do? The Bible says you're going to have to exercise. Soldiers have to exercise. They have to stay in shape. The enemy, he would love for you to be out of shape and slow. The Bible says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Have some habits in your life that produce spiritual exercise. You know, a soldier has to discipline himself to exercise. You know, soldiers don't enjoy running. They don't. Amen. They don't enjoy it. They have to do it. It's part of their discipline. Brother Hugh Howland told me 2 years ago, and I've thought about this statement so many times. He said, "Discipline is the key to life." That is a deep statement, Brother Tim. Amen. Discipline is the key to life. Hey, you know what else you're going to need? You need to eat. You're going to need exercise. You're going to need the right equipment. Soldiers just don't run out into battle with shorts and a t-shirt on. They've got all their equipment. You know, the Bible gives us an equipment list in Ephesians, doesn't it? It tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Down in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember to keep in condition and be prepared for battle. Realize there'll be casualties. Recognize the conflict. And when we consider the main secret to staying in the battle, I think it's this. Reflect on how Jesus stayed in the battle. Didn't He? Betrayed with a kiss. But Mrs. Harmon, He stayed in the battle. And I love that phrase when He gets to Gethsemane. And He tells Peter, James, and John to stay. And it says, and He went a little further. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider Him which endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Can you see Him on the cross as they come by with their scornful looks? Look at Him. Oh, You said You were the Son of God. If You were, You'd be able to come down. Hey, you know what? You can stay in the battle.
Right.
You can stay in the battle. You can stay in the battle. You can stay in the battle.
Amen.
Think about what Jesus did for you. Your battle's about this big. Well, I'm not dismissing the fact it's a big battle to you. We all go through our own battles, don't we? But I'm talking about the final battle. This spiritual battle that we're in against Satan and his hordes. Listen, the captain of our salvation has promised to give us strength and to help us to endure. Stay in the battle. What are the secrets? Recognize the conflict. Realize there'll be casualties. Remember to keep in condition and be prepared for battle. Reflect upon Jesus. Back to the story. I'll close with this. Lieutenant Bauch, back at Lanzarote, had thought that he had completely failed that day. After all, 14 of his men were wounded, one was dead, and all were captured by the enemy. What he did not know, nor did anyone else know at the time, that was their efforts delayed the Nazi 1st Panzer Division by 12 hours. And this battle plan that Hitler and his remaining generals had come up with, precision was key and timing had to be perfect. And it allowed the Allies to marshal their forces and win the Battle of the Bulge. 18 men changed a battle of over 400,000 men. That platoon, to this day, is the highest decorated platoon in all of World War II. And do you know why? Because they stayed in the battle. They held at all costs. Hey, listen, hold at all costs. Hold on to your faith at all costs. Hold on to the Lord at all costs. Hold on. Hold at all costs. Stay in the battle. Father, we love You because You